It's 7:43. I'm Dave Mistich. All this week on West Virginia Morning, we'll be hearing from and about some of our younger residents. We start with a youth essay from Charleston, where one young Black West Virginian shares his vision for the future.
If it's possible, the rural areas in West Virginia to be exposed to different cultures and different people, because you can't blame them if they've never ever seen if they've never seen a person of color.
That and more on this West Virginia Morning. Tens of thousands of people have taken to the streets, young, old, Black, and white. They're protesting the deaths of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and here in Appalachia, victims such as Robert Ellis, who you can learn more about in the most recent episode of Inside Appalachia. The show features voices of several Black people in our region, talking about racism and about their visions for a more just future, including 17-year-old Aiden Satterfield, who lives in Charleston.
Being a person of color in West Virginia for sure is tough. Charleston, Huntington, Beckley, all those, I guess you could say, bigger towns in West Virginia, I feel like racism isn't as big, but in the rural areas, it's a real issue. It's a real problem. There are pluses to being an African American or a person of color in West Virginia, I'd say, from a personal standpoint. One being is that when you do see other people of color, and when you're around other people of color, you really feel a sense of being united and being around each other, and you feel like you should be there, and you feel like you become as one. Also, one of my visions that I'd like to see would be, if it's possible, the rural areas in West Virginia to be exposed to different cultures and different people, because you can't blame them if they've never, ever seen if they've never seen a person of color, because that's a real issue. Maybe if those rural schools, elementary schools, took a trip to Charleston and went to the Clay Center and saw other schools around here, maybe that's something that they could do. Or that starts them young, and then they do say, oh, there's actually other people, like, there's other people in the world. I know they see stuff on TV, but if they could actually witness it with their own eyes, I think that would help West Virginia a lot.
That was Aiden Satterfield sharing his perspective of growing up in Appalachia. If you're a person of color, tell us what Appalachia is to you. What is your vision for a better, more just Appalachia? We here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting recognize that we need to do a better job listening to you. Your story is our story too. Record your story using the Voice Memo app on your phone. Then email it to insideappalachia@wvpublic.org. West Virginia Public Broadcasting has partnered with organizations in the Northern Panhandle to create a series of youth stories. They were created and produced out of a yurt in the middle of an urban farm in Wheeling. Roxy Todd sat down with the series' producer, education reporter Glennis Board, to gain more insight and context. Here's part of that conversation.
Okay, so explain to us, what is Operation YURT?
YURT is an acronym for Youth Resilience Training. And, okay, we also meet in a yurt, which is like a round canvas, vinyl, and wooden structure. It's kind of like a tent on steroids inspired by nomadic Mongolian traditions. So one day a week, me and some other educators in Ohio County, we meet with Ohio County Public School kids for a full school day. And the program itself is grounded in the outdoors, mindfulness, food farming, and storytelling.
Pretty complex. So you bought a yurt.
Well, it all started in 2018 with a 25-foot Western Plains-style teepee, which is significantly cheaper than a yurt. I worked with, and I've been working with Grow Ohio Valley, a nonprofit band of urban farmers in my neighborhood. They were engaged with Ohio County Learning Center, which is Ohio County's version of alternative school, which also happens to be in my neighborhood. And these public school kids, at the learning center are deemed incapable of learning in a traditional environment. And we got permission to work with them. And so once a week for 8 weeks, we spent the school day together on this former derelict housing site that Grow Ohio Valley has repurposed and turned into a small working farm with grow beds and high tunnels and now a teepee. So imagine, we met there every week, October through December.
So you were in a teepee with these kids in the middle of the winter. What did they think about that? I mean, a lot of times it was snowing, right? And that was probably really uncomfortable.
Part of what motivated this entire program is this tendency that kids have today to huddle up inside and stare at screens. And they're becoming more and more disconnected from the natural world. And when you bring up like something like this, an idea like this, most people will say, oh, it's not feasible because the weather is bad. And these kids, you know, they expect their environment to adapt to them. That's where they are. And so we had to provide warm clothing and warm boots. And sometimes the kids could be talked into wearing them and sometimes not. They had to really sort of learn. It made me really nervous. It was like the one thing that I really wanted to test with the program. I just want to share this one story. I'll never forget the first day. It was supposed to rain and like sleet all day. The teacher in the class, he texted me early in the morning and said, why don't we just stay in half day? And I said, sink or swim, we got to test this and see what happens. And so the kids all trudged out. We had the teepee. We did have a fire. But there was a lot of work to be done, and it was all outside. They worked so hard. They were moving mulch. They were doing all of this stuff. They were in and out. They worked all day. They came in for lunch into the teepee, and I'll never forget, they were glowing. I mean, I expected them to be mad and disgruntled, but they were glowing. And the teacher, he came in to the teepee and he said, I just want to tell you guys, I have never been more proud of you than I am today because of the way, it's so hard for me to talk about this without crying, because of the way that you worked hard, you worked together, you figured out how to solve this problem and you made it happen and you accomplished something very cool. Human beings have been outside for 300,000 years, and it's something that we can do.
And then you bought a yurt.
Right. So this past year, this past school year, with huge community support, we extended the program and built a yurt. And my part now at Operation Yurt has predominantly been to teach mindfulness and storytelling. So we try to build connections with the kids and identify their passions. And then we invite experts from the community based on those interests to the yurt to be interviewed. The kids compile questions and help record the interviews. And then we'd work with them to tell stories with that material. It's great because we're meeting kids where they are on this really beautiful hidden site that, I mean, oh, it's just beautiful. There's this incredible view looking out over our community. And then people from that community join us. So kids learn a little bit about different professions, a little bit about how to tell stories. They get to express themselves. Baked into that, collaboration, critical thinking, creativity, critical 21st century skills. And West Virginia Public Broadcasting helps give them voice, which is so important. Research demonstrates that the power of storytelling is really not only in crafting a coherent and compelling tale, but also in actually being heard. And that is a really magical element that can start to address traumatized brain structure, giving people agency and positive self-identities. Now, of course, it's not a magic bullet. Really, we're just trying to highlight expertise found here in our communities and celebrate who we are.
That was Glynis Board speaking with Roxy Todd about a series of stories we'll be hearing this week. Public school students in Ohio County have been working with our Northern News Bureau to explore issues and professions in the Ohio Valley. As part of the storytelling initiative, students interviewed a panel of professional artists. A a Japanese painter, an illustrator, and a filmmaker. Students worked with journalist Ella Jenkins to bring us this story. Oh, and to respect the privacy of our young storytellers, we've withheld their real names.
These are the paintings. Sometimes I make screens. Because screen is like traditional way of displaying a painting in Japan. Yeah, that's mine.
That was traditional Japanese painter Hiromi Katayama showcasing her portfolio book containing photographs of a vibrant spread of enormous floral paintings she's made to a group of Ohio County public school students.
Oh, this is one of the biggest one I made. It's the 80 inch times 240 inches. What is that in a feet?
Oh man, come on, I don't want to do math.
The students' interest in art brought together a panel of three professional artists. Katayama, a native of Japan, screen print illustrator Logan Schmidt, and filmmaker and fine artist Michael McCowan.
So this piece is just an assemblage of doll parts, and there's also foam that's in there, there's plaster, there's paint. I took a torch to it, but it's all about form and texture and value.
Both Schmidt and McCowan are from the Ohio Valley. Although the three artists brought different styles, interests, and life stories to the table, they all shared similar feelings about what life is like as an artist. The students had many questions to ask.
What does it take to be a professional artist?
I think most important things to be artist is that you just have to believe in yourself and continue working towards your own goals and not get distracted by some other stuff that easier for you.
Yeah, I think probably the most important thing is you have to have passion, because it's an extremely challenging field to be in because it's so competitive and there's nothing that's easy about it. So you're constantly faced with disappointment.
McCowan said it also takes a lot of self-discipline to be an artist. Schmidt agreed.
I would say it takes a lot of patience. It's not always that you get to where you want to be right away. It's kind of like a marathon more than a sprint.
Each artist spoke about sacrifices they've made to be successful in their profession, whether authentic Japanese food for Katayama, to relationships, or enduring financial challenges. Each had personal obstacles to overcome.
Do you ever have a hard time letting go of a piece of art you've made?
I haven't made anything that I would hold dear, like, completely and would never let go, because part of what I like about art is to be able to share it with people, too.
I don't have anything that I kept for myself at all. And the bottom line is I can make another one. So I'm not worried about it. I worry about injuring my hand sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm driving, I was like, what if this truck hit me? How do I protect my hand? I think about that all the time.
Now the problem is that eventually you run out of space. Like that's just the reality of it. Like even no matter how much a piece means to you, at some point you have to think about letting go.
How do you do when something doesn't go according to plan?
Sometimes things go disastrously wrong, but at the end of the day, you still have to go, how do I make this work? Like, how can I fix this? And that's where that creative problem solving and that abstract thought comes in. And I think that's one of the greatest gifts that we receive from creating art, is that you learn that problem solving.
The artists all had thoughts about what would make this region easier for artists to thrive in. They mentioned things like more art shows and art venues. They also had advice for aspiring artists in the region.
This area, I found out it's very, very closed. If you know people, then you're good to go. But if you don't know people, if you're new to the area, if you don't know anybody, then it's harder. So just stay who you are and just approach the people as true to yourself.
Yeah, I think one of the advantages to being in the Ohio Valley, first off, is the cost of living. That makes it very affordable to be an artist as opposed to being in a larger city or something like that. By that same token, we are in a smaller market area. And as they both were saying, it's that network of friends. So it's not only people that are working in the same field as you, but finding people that inspire you and motivate you. And if you can form creative and collaborative relationships with that, it's so much easier, because there are those times where you don't want to go, you don't want to do it, but your partner is there to inspire you and to move you forward. So that's really, just as these guys said, I think that's the most important part, is finding that community and finding those people who have that same passion and interest that you have.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ella Jennings in Wheeling.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I am Jellyfish from Wheeling, West Virginia.
West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm Bobcat in Wheeling.
And I'm Blue-Footed Booby in Wheeling, West Virginia.
That story is part of a youth storytelling initiative made possible through the Rural Arts Collaborative. It was recorded and produced out of a yurt in an outdoor classroom in the middle of an urban farm in downtown Wheeling. If you didn't catch all of that, learn more online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Glynis Board produced our show this morning. I'm your host, Dave Mistich.